Two, one. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sovereign Envoys. Today I'm here with the UFO Discord chat. If I can get this screen out of the way. I'm here with four of my friends, and we are the Sovereign Envoys today. I'm going to let them introduce themselves, starting from the top of the list. So that'd be Follow Virgil.
Hello, my name is Follow Virgil.
Oh, Red Panda just joined us. Say hello so they know your voice.
Hello, my name is Red Panda
Koala. Red Panda Koala. And then Red Templar, say hello.
Hey, Red Templar, no relation to Red Panda.
And Theory QED, that you all know and love.
Glad to be here.
Torment himself.
So we just stopped and counted in, and we just want to get right to it. The way we're going to flow with this episode is we're each going to have one topic, and then we're going to talk about that together as a group. So obviously, if I have a topic idea, and then we can talk about that, and then Red Panda has a idea. So there'll be like five ideas. Maybe we'll give them 15 minutes each, or see how long it remains interesting, and talk about it as a group. And but what we're going to start with is the conversation that we left off with just moments ago. If the mainstream media said tomorrow at, say, like 9/11, you wake up 10:30 in the morning and every news station says there is a UFO coming towards Earth, it is not ours, and it is a craft built by another civilization, why aren't people freaking out about Tic Tacs if they're here now? What would they do if they had that Independence Day style intro? What is going on here? Any ideas?
Well, I think that it's slightly different in the sense that if something is coming here, you can prove that it's extraterrestrial beyond a shadow of a doubt, because we didn't, 99% chance we didn't make something in a different solar system or even in our own solar system. We probably didn't make that. But as far as the Tic Tac, skeptics can say that it's not a real craft. It's not confirmed by the mainstream media. It's just birds, light reflections, radar glitches, whatever. And then other people think that it's U.S. technology. So there's a slight difference, but I'm interested to hear what you guys think, because personally, I don't think that people would freak out too bad. But if the government, it depends on how they say it, right? Like if the government says that we're just as scared as you are, we don't know what's going to happen when they arrive, it might be the end of the world, then obviously everyone's going to freak out. But if they say that it could be a peaceful first contact, they're very hopeful, or we've already had first contact and this is going to be like third contact or something, and we already know that they're nice, then I don't think it would be as big of a deal.
I think there's one word there that defines it, because we haven't used that word yet in any of the mainstream media's coverage of any of the Tic Tac, any of the flying saucers or anything. We haven't used the word they.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, we haven't. The mainstream media has not, but I know I posited this in the Discord earlier, but I think that some government officials have alluded to at least the idea that there are others.
Right.
Or that there is a they. I know I'm, of course, but the Blumenthal video related to the Space Force congressional hearings.
Is that the senator one where he's sitting there and they are saying they?
Says they like 10 times.
Yeah, if you guys send a link send a link to that, and I can put it in the description, so that so if we cite any if we cite anything that maybe the people that are listening aren't aware of, just give me a link to that, and I can put it in the description at the end of the show when I edit it.
Absolutely. And so I want to go back to the earlier point, Gabe and Theory. It seems like we're in this situation right now where, the question is, would the public, freak out? Would it be like a 9/11 type response to some sort of an official announcement that there are extraterrestrial visitors coming to this planet. And I've been thinking a lot about this. I mean, if you guys remember, like in 9/11, you know, and the days that follow, I mean, it was like non-coverage of that event. And what I'm wondering is whether or not if this announcement was made, because as was alluded to earlier, it already has in many sort of ways been made, would people care? Would it be a big deal? Would it be this, you know, people run out into the street and start joining some sort of like UFO cults, or, you know, would there be mass mayhem? And to be honest, I don't know. And I kind of pose that question back to this group. Like, what do you think would happen if the government or some sort of, you know, authoritative, you know, intergovernmental or governmental body were to come out and say that, yes, we've made contact, whether it's good or bad or otherwise, like what would happen?
I'll touch in on this. So I kind of want to go off what you're saying and what Virgil is saying. Like the tone has a lot to do with it. And I think there's like a lot of reasons why people aren't taking it as seriously as we are. Like, I think Mockingbird is a big factor, which was like the CIA operation to infiltrate the media and turn this into one that like crazy people were interested in. And then also I just think the rollout they're doing, like Virgil said, like if when the Tic Tac story first broke in 2017, it was like on the news nonstop 24/7, people would totally like, I think things would be so much different right now. And I think they purposely like did it like right around Christmas because they wanted to do a soft landing. And maybe they even have like Tom DeLonge being so involved, so it's like super soft, like this crazy guy, what? But like each time like another story comes out, you're like, wait, what's going on? But yeah, so I think tone from the people like dispersing this is a big factor in why people aren't taking it seriously.
Yeah, the stigma that goes along with it definitely doesn't help. I mean, many of the friends and family members tried talking to about this stuff, they either respond with something along the lines of, I'm not into sci-fi, or I kind of figured they were out there anyway. I mean, but still not really addressing the immediacy of it is factually something going on currently. You know what I mean? It's always a distant thing or a not a present situation, it seems like, the way that people are handling it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, too. Like, it just, yeah, it doesn't seem real for a lot of people, which I mean, I get, because it's so out there. Because that's another thing, too, I think, like, people don't like to talk about it because it changes a lot of, like, belief systems and stuff like that, at least challenges them.
Yeah, it's incredible, too, because if you ask anybody, most people will agree. I believe it's most people will agree that there has to be life somewhere else in the universe. I don't believe that there's very many people left out there after knowing just the sheer scale of the universe. When you can look out there and see every spot of light in the sky, there could be an equivalent number of galaxies that has like 10 to the power that number of stars. Even if there was one planet around each of them, there's bound to be life somewhere else.
But Gabe, don't you think that, like, academically people may accept that, but viscerally they don't understand what that might mean? And that's what I see to be sort of a disconnect in many ways, where, you know, yes, like, scientifically, you know, mathematically, it sounds extremely probable, but people aren't thinking about it. It hasn't entered into consciousness.
Well, I don't think that that's the case. I think that the whole UFO, all the ufology culture has made it such a farce. And this is what's really pissing all of us off, because, and this is why we've basically created this think tank, where we have people like you and Red Panda and Theory going over the facts, so that, and you guys are like worried, you know, that, you know, what if we invite one wrong person to the group and that they'll start spewing like crap. And it's like, well, honestly, what I've seen from the people, at least in the Discord, that you guys are able to match info with what's factually coming out. And it's almost like your big data, like your AI big data, but organic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because yeah. you guys spend so much time going over this stuff.
We're all addicted.
Yeah. And the thing is, when somebody comes in with wrong information, all I see is a very respectful conversation saying, hey, well, actually, if I point you to this info over here, there's like, you know, there's reasons why people would doubt Bob Lazar, because he hasn't been seen to have these credentials that he says he has. And yes, he does look like he's telling the truth as far as, you know, body language and mm-hmm. things like that. But then there's also this other side. So you just show the facts as they are. And this is what all the people in this Discord do nonstop every day, and, yeah, and it's like, quite incredible to see a bunch of people doing this to this level.
We're all addicted, and that's like another crazy thing to me. It's like, it's crazy that we're like some subgroup of humanity, like the TikTok stuff, like we're talking like tone and everything. I don't understand how like not everyone is obsessed like we are, like something that absolutely. isn't human flying around our skies, like, and no one cares. It's crazy yeah, that we're outcast.
That's why I agree with what Templar said about people not accepting it on a visceral level. And I also wanted to ask, what do you mean by not understanding what it might mean? Do you mean the end of the world, or ushering in a new era of prosperity for humanity and global world peace? Or what do you envision?
Who said that? Me or
Gabe? Oh, to Templar. He said people don't understand what it might mean.
Well, I'm not sure if it's not that they don't understand what it might mean, but they're not taking what it could mean. I mean, there's a, right. you know, it could be a billion things. It depends on if it's our domestic or non-domestic, you know, threats. I mean, if it's humans that have this technology, then, hey, we should be kind of concerned for that. I mean, I was reading somewhere today that was talking about if you have something that can accelerate at the speeds that we're seeing there, I mean, just taking that up to, you know, low orbit and aiming it somewhere. I mean, who needs nukes when you have a, you know, something that can achieve close to relativistic speeds, you know?
Because if it's unmanned, you could just use it as like a kinetic impact weapon, and it would be like exactly a massive that. Meteor, yep. destroy the whole world. Yeah, exactly. So do you guys think that we should treat these as a threat? So assuming the Tic Tac is a real physical object and possibly ours or not ours, do you think that we should be afraid of them? Because we don't know if they're hostile, right? I mean, I know that there's a few incidences like Kolaris, yep. where people have been attacked. But for the most part, outside of one or two human mutilations and some energy beams like making people feel hot, I don't know too many people that have literally been killed by UFOs. There have been people that have claimed to have been kind of tortured medically during an abduction, but I don't
missing
know that
bro. They're all gone.
Yeah,
they're not.
It could
ass.
Be. Yeah, yeah.
So can I speak to this, or at least talk a little bit about this? So you mentioned threat. So threat, you know, in defense circles and certainly military control complex. Fine.
Wait, Virgil, your audio. I don't know. For me, your audio is kind of cutting out a lot.
Sorry about that.
Is that anyone else getting that, or just me?
No, that's me too.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Keep going.
Yeah, you cut out once in a while, though. That's all.
So I was saying that threat is a function of capability times intent, right? So what right. is the intent of the phenomenon? We have no idea, but we do have some sort of an indication as to the capability. It's groundbreaking. It's revolutionary. This is something that we have not as a species ever experienced at any point in the past. And so, you know, looking at the capability, I think everyone here, at least in this conversation, would agree that the capability far exceeds anything that mankind has ever developed in the past. And so that kind of leads to focusing in on what's the intent. And the intent is unknown. At this point, I mean, we assume based, you know, past is prologue, but what do we think, given that there hasn't been any sort of, you know, at least to our knowledge, malicious intent, does that mean that in the future there wouldn't be any sort of, or any kind of malintent?
Right.
That's a question mark.
Right.
And what's interesting about that function, though, you have this massively or massive, you know, capability that is almost immeasurable. I mean, guys, when we talk about this, this is almost like, you know, God with a lowercase g.
Yeah.
And the intent is unknown. So it seems to me, at least, you know, we want to be cautious about thinking about potential inference as to the intent of any sort of extraterrestrial being, right? And I feel the other, you know, side of this is that we have a tendency as humans to anthropomorphize, you know, any sort of encounter or interaction that we may have. Any kind of being, any kind of entity, and we have to really kind of like take a few steps back and think to ourselves, this may truly be alien. This may be something that we have no sort of commonality. In my mind, that lends us to wanting to look at least from the perspective of intent, it's an unknown.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Like, the fact that it's an unknown intent, we just have to be prepared for it to be a threat. And, yeah, that's totally ignoring, like, the mutilations and all that kind of stuff. Just going off, like, the happy side of UFOs, just their capabilities flying around airspace and stuff like that, that's...
I think. Yeah, the unknowns is the worst part of it, I think. I mean, so most of our conversations are largely conjecture, secondhand information, and... you know, whatnot. Even we were talking a few minutes ago about, you know, people disappearing. I mean, a lot of those times, if somebody goes straight up missing or comes back looking like some of the cattle mutilations, I'm sure the reporting on that isn't super detailed. I mean, just submitting a report with some of that stuff on it would probably, you know, get some people some odd looks, yeah. You know what I mean?
And I think that's the reason they covered it up for so long, is the...
yeah.
The darker stuff.
It's crazy that they don't even keep a record of all those people that have gone missing on the national park lands.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
Because they could easily do that with just a computer.
I heard a theory where they made the national parks where they were because of that.
That could be, yeah.
Just coaling fields.
Yeah, you know, everyone in this chat probably were all fucking... super into this, so we come across some pretty interesting theories all the time.
Yeah, like kind of a stay away zone, you mean, or what do you think?
Yeah, so like that way people didn't like populate it super. I don't know if it's like some kind of portal or something.
Yeah,
where the dimensions are thin. You know, that it's that side of ufology.
Can't be having portals on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the next point. What if it is interdimensional or something weirder than just extraterrestrial? I mean, even if it's only extraterrestrial, their logic, their code of ethics, or their morality, all of those things might not apply to our civilization. So they might have motivations that we can't even understand. And that is amplified if they're interdimensional, in my opinion, because I don't understand what you could possibly gain from transversing dimensions. I mean, is it all just sightseeing? Because if their economy is that developed, they really could crowdsource or crowdfund an expedition to another star as easily as we can make like a board game on Kickstarter. So is it really just for fun because there's nothing else left to do on their own planet? They need to go out and explore the universe? Or is it some other motivation that we maybe can't even understand?
That's... who knows? I think we're their property though, low key. I had to be forced to like commit to something, they're probably just watching their stock.
That should kind of wrap up, I guess, the intro. Sure. 20 minutes later. But let's see. You guys were saying some things about them being interdimensional, and I remember.
Sorry to interject, but I want to talk about that. Aspect of potentially the beings being interdimensional. I mean, the Rendlesham Forest comes to mind. And there's been reports from some of the people that were witness to those events in years that followed that there was a message that you know, eyes of our eyes, you know, from a time and a timeline or a year that far exceeded where we are today. And so I'm wondering, like why would potentially some of these experiences be due to interdimensional visitors? I'm just curious what you guys think. I mean, I imagine that a number of you guys have followed some of the Rendlesham Forest, you know, events, but it's really interesting.
I'm going to get kind of skeptical for a minute just to play devil's advocate. I don't know if we can put too much stock in that binary code message, just because he could have easily typed in something in English and then translated it into binary code and somehow memorized it and then written it down, because he didn't do it right after the fact. I think it was years actually.
That's true.
So
many years
later. I just think we need to take that story with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I mean, a majority of the popular stories in ufology, and I hate the word ufology.
I don't even know how to say it.
I say ufology.
It's just,
yeah, that's the way. I like it.
And then people that have gotten attention because of their stories, they're always suspect to skepticism. I mean,
Travis Walton comes to mind.
Unfortunately, he was one of the better stories, but yeah, like even his wiki says that he's failed certain, what is it, the lie detector test at some point. But
he's
then
been
again,
on the lecture circuit since it happened.
For sure, yeah, and that too, and that was one of the things that people like. And I mean, my experience was as real as his, but I mean, I'm not on a lecture circuit. I couldn't pay to get somebody to let me talk about my experience and have people take me seriously. So there's a lot of things that I try to do and on Reddit when I'm trying to scout for people that are, you know, sound sincere and they're just not being taken seriously. Nobody's listening to them. They're just like, what the hell happened? And I just want to talk to somebody about it, not talk to a bunch of people and have a bunch of people listen to me, but just like, I just need to get it off my chest kind of thing. Cause I don't understand it. And I don't know why it happened. And you know, these kinds of questions are what the way people that see these things think, because I mean, you could fake that obviously, but there's the people that aren't getting noticed for it. Why would they fake it? Are they mentally ill or is there something really there? And I've looked a bit into that, and when you guys are talking about multidimensional things, it's like the words kind of, I think we have a culture that's based around, you know, our language. So the way we word things, we understand it in a frame that we do, so that we can relate it to other things. But if this whole phenomenon is truly alien, then that language that we have in and of itself will be ill-equipped, scientific or not. Right? Like, our words won't be able to begin to describe something that's so far advanced of us that we could, like, basically, it's magic, right?
Maybe that's why what aliens is right now. Like, that's us understanding it. It doesn't make sense to us when it's really something crazier than that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Especially when we're just now getting to the point where people might be able to deal with the idea of it, that there are UFOs or UAPs or whatever we want to call them at the moment. I mean, maybe we don't want to start bringing in interdimensional creatures. Mm-hmm. I mean, really get people messed up.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think
people ease them into it.
I don't think people have so much a problem with the concept that these UFOs are out there, but it's the stigma attached with the people that talk about it, I think, is the problem.
Well, religion doesn't necessarily help that either. I mean, I have my family is pretty pretty religious growing up, and so I don't know. Just talking about like aliens and stuff growing up, it's like, no, that's not real. We're the only ones.
that seems
to be like the mindset across the board.
But then again, you have stories of angels and Ezekiel's wheel and the prophets being taken up in ships to see the spheres.
But if it's not what people think, then you know what I mean? That just makes it even worse.
I mean,
it just makes us a cargo cult.
Yeah.
Well,
Well, and we very well could be.
I mean, what do you guys think about, you know, all religion potentially being a manifestation of
the phenomena?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I think that it's not like the hard way.
Yes, that's it. I agree.
We like that.
Subscribe. The whole world is living a lie. I love it.
I mean,
all hail Klaatu.
Okay. For example, there's the story of the Great Flood, and it's almost ubiquitous throughout all cultures in the world, right? And if you know anything about this guy, Graham Hancock, he has been saying that there was, in fact, a real great flood. And he's been saying this since, I think, the 90s, the early 90s. And
yeah, the younger Dryas event has a...
Exactly.
Is, it was a part...
Somebody here knows his book.
A partial flood, right?
Fingerprints of the Gods?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Got it. Yeah. Someone here would know it.
Okay, so basically, if a comet impact hit Greenland, it would have melted all of that ice, both from the comet and Greenland, obviously. So it would make the sea levels rise, and there really would be a gigantic global flood. So if these stories in our history about a biblical flood are true and based off of real, provable evidence that we can say actually happened, then that brings it into question, what are the stories about visitors from above? Because those are also in almost every culture, whether it's the Bible or Native American stories or cave paintings even. There's a lot of evidence that people saw something coming down from above. And is it just their imagination? Is it all a product of human consciousness? Or is it something factual that actually happened? So, well, I think it's a great question, and I think it's possible.
It's also something that happened recently, too, because it would have had to happen, you know, after we came to, like, become relatively modern, anatomically, but it would have to have been before writing.
Both, I think. I mean, we don't know when, because if it happened before writing, are you saying before cave painting or before, like, the written language?
Before written language.
Well, yeah, it could be both, because we have written historical records and we also have cave paintings of really the same looking beings in multiple places around the world. One of them is Algeria, and then I can't remember all the other ones, but there's one in the American Southwest, and they all look the same. You can kind of imagine them as grays.
I thought you were talking about the floods.
Oh, sorry. I was talking about the aliens right now.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay.
All right. My bad.
Yeah, that makes me want to say something.
Yeah, go for it.
Of what Theory was saying. I feel like in the quote-unquote UFO community, especially on like Reddit and Discord, we really overestimate like how chill people will be when it's like actually like to the point where it's like 24/7 news. Just because we're already like in the mix and like we've already kind of like acclimated ourselves to it. But like, I don't know. Like, to the religion thing, like, say all, like, everyone in the world finds out their religion was just, like, a puppet show from these things, like, I don't know, I think it has potential to get pretty nasty.
I mean, Panda, describe that. Elaborate. I mean, do you think it's going to potentially
yeah, Panda, elaborate.
You know, 2 week, you know, wall-to-wall coverage.
Yeah, I think if when that happens, or and you know what I mean, like we got to give Tom credit because like stuff's been happening, right? So if you even go off of what he says, that like eventually, like they're gonna get into like abductions and cattle mutilations and stuff like that, like you know what I mean, and maybe even that NPR thing was like the recent cattle mutilation NPR article was like part of that. Like it's not all pretty, so who knows? People might go crazy, and like the thing I point to is that that Indian case that I posted in Discord a few times. It's pretty similar to Caleros, where there was like UFOs, but they kind of said they were like giant bugs, maybe even.
Yeah.
But anyways, like the whole like village like rioted against the police for not being able to protect them.
Panda, are you talking about that NPR? You know, news is like overwhelming everyone. Story.
Yeah, you cut out a bit, but I think yes. The answer to your question is yes.
This is going to be a really hard podcast to follow for anybody that doesn't know what's going on.
Oh, yeah, so I know, right?
This is going to be like basically a podcast for just the Discord.
Yeah.
Nobody else is going to be able to follow us because we're like so far.
On the emojis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now we're getting into local news.
Well, so there was an NPR national radio article that was covering the cattle mutilations that were occurring up in the West.
What is NPR? National State. Press?
National Public Radio. Yeah, it's our.
Oh, yeah, I forget you're Canadian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apologies, Gabe. it was covering a story, but it kind of presented it initially as, you know, well, I mean, Panda, what do you think? I mean, it was kind of like there's so much news going on in these days, and people were looking at this information or this news as a distraction from political and other social.
Like
news that was going on.
I think if honestly Trump wasn't elected and that ATIP stuff came out, it also would have had a bigger splash. But just because like America, sorry Canada and stuff, but America's like so excited about politics right now, it's like that's all the news is. So I don't know. I guess I think that was kind of relevant. Sorry.
I'm not sure if excited would be the right word.
Yeah, but just like obsessed. Just every day. It's just like so much. Yeah, excited. Yeah, no, I'm not excited. Theory, thoughts?
I don't know. What's our next topic?
Yeah.
Let's do next topic.
So I'm going to try to rein this in for the next. I'm a terrible host today. I thought this would work, but with five people, it's a little bit harder.
We could always just do like two topics too and do the rest another day.
Yeah, we don't have to have five, yeah.
Sure. Anybody? Okay, did anybody come in here with topics they wanted to discuss specifically?
I had one that might be interesting.
Oh, go. Let's go.
Well,
let's hear it.
Well, yeah. Let's just see what all... Like what all our options are, and then we can vote on them.
Okay.
How about von Neumann probes or machines? I mean, nice. Maybe what's visiting here is actually just an automated system that lands somewhere, acquires the materials to build more ships, sends them out. I mean, maybe that's why they kind of just ignore us generally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can work with that.
I had an idea about lucid dreaming and astral projection and how that might relate to Stephen Greer's whole meditation thing to make contact with these things if they're interdimensional, and how it relates to some of the cultures that were wiped out during a lot of the way this world so far has been colonized, and we wipe out a lot of the native populations with their cultures, and how they have like dream time kind of thing. And they usually talk about that, a big part of their culture. But that's something that I was thinking about today. And
so that's Gabe's option. Two.
And then theory, I think you're talking about killing plants or something.
Oh, yeah. What the hell, theory?
What the hell, theory?
Let me explain. So Gabriel first got me into this idea that plants are conscious. And so if you hook up plants to an electrical machine, and then you either think threatening thoughts or you actually physically threaten them with like a lighter or something, they will have an electrical spike apparently. And this can be verified, right? So it's not clear if this is clear consciousness or something else or whatever it is. But also plants can talk to one another in times of distress and also when they're not distressed. So I think that there's something worth looking into with that. And then BLD from the Discord, he sent me this thing. It's about the men who stare at goats. And it's literally like a psychic warfare division of special forces in the U.S. Army, U.S. military. And they literally stare at goats and try to slow down their heart rate and try to kill it. And that goes back to your video that you made about the USSR doing the same thing and trying to do this to a person.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's pretty crazy. But I think first it would be a lot safer to start with like a hamster, which they show in the video. I can link it for the listeners if they're interested. But they show this guy like trying to influence his hamsters with just his thoughts. And there's also a guy that says that you can make people think, or you can make people forget what they're about to say, just if you think in your head like negative thoughts that they're going to forget what they want to say, they actually will. So I think that there's something that we could probably test psychologically, but as far as like ethical standards with psychological experiments, I think it would probably be illegal to do some of that stuff on humans. So first of all, I think we should start with plants. And it's like that Mythbusters thing. I think there's also a commercial and also a scientific study as well, where you have two plants in a room, you control all of the variables, and one of the plants you either play positive music or you speak lovingly to, and then the other plant you play like death metal or you swear at it all the time and tell it it's a stupid plant and it should go die, and then it actually literally does die, and the other one has more leaves than a third plant, which is just a control with no variables. So I think that there's something that might be testable there.
So theory, are you referring to NIDS? Alexander.
What is NIDS?
Valley.
NIDS is the National Institute for Discovery Science by Bob.
For the listeners, sorry.
Whole men who stare at goats. I mean, that was actual CIA had paid for and run for a number of years.
And Pudoff is on TTSA.
And Russell Targ and Inigo Swan.
Who you saw, right, Virgil?
Yeah.
Inigo Swan is dead.
Really cool.
Well, it was Russell Targ, not Inigo Swan.
Inigo Swan has been dead for a long time.
Yeah, it was Russell Targ, who's getting older, by the way. But for anyone that's listening and wants to look into some of those, you know, remote viewing or ESP tests, I would highly recommend you look into Al Putov, Russell Targ, obviously Inigo Swan back in the 70s, but that was a real thing.
Yeah, I used to be all for that. I mean, same with the plants thing. Like, I was all gung-ho about that, and then, but theory wasn't. And then, you know, I've actually redacted my thoughts on them, and I'm really, like, skeptical now about everything. And so I flipped 180, and so did theory. So that's kind of weird, because he was totally, like, against all of it when I first decided to tell him about it. And he's like, no, that doesn't sound real. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Forget it. I found out it's bogus, and it was not repeatable by, like, scientific whatever. And so I don't know. But now he's into it, and he's usually pretty thorough with his research. So I don't know. Curious.
My thing is, everything needs to be reproducible.
Yeah.
So if you come up with a result about something, I need to be able to do the exact same thing following your instructions at my house. Like, right. We need to be able to verify it independently.
And that's the problem I have with meditating to try and get UFOs to come, because it's so not repeatable unless you have like a brain imaging scanner. And basically, it's like if I phone this phone number, Fred will pick up. And then you go and phone the phone number, but Fred is not home, so he doesn't pick up. Or he sees that it's an unknown number, and he doesn't pick up. And you're like, this doesn't work. And I'm like, well, maybe not for you. So there's like, it's that problem when you can't isolate all the variables. You don't know what the other side is doing.
I wanted to ask you and Virgil about the astral projections thing and lucid dreaming. First of all, why is lucid dreaming connected to astral projection? And then more importantly, how are both of those things related to UFOs? Can you somehow do those with UFOs?
Really quick.
And define them for anyone who hasn't listened.
And please explain them.
Okay, really quick. I'll try to do this the best I can. I'm just learning step one on how to do this, because in my head, I'm just like, I'm ready to give up. Everything's kind of like, I'm done. I want to be a skeptic. I want to be Mick West and everything is just birds, you know? But in my head, I'm like, well, because when I did this, it worked. And just the meditation in 2008, it's on the first episode. It's an hour long, blah, blah, blah. I saw a UFO. It was, you know, it was a metal ship in the middle of the day. And it was not a light in the sky. It was a fucking flying lampshade. It was bizarre. So something was there. I did Stephen Greer's meditation thinking, you know, what the hell? What's the worst that could happen? I did it and it worked. And I was just shocked. So I repeated it once a year later, but it didn't get the same thing. And also there's probably reasons for that too. Like I did get a visit from like a black Apache helicopter, like probably something as close to MIB as we can actually, for all intents and purposes, was MIB. So I'm probably, they're either aware that I can do this now and I can't get the same result because you know, if you're on a list of people that can do that, then they're going to probably have sensors around where fucking someone's going to do that so they can shoot these things down or whatever they're going to do. So I think that there's a big problem there with me trying to repeat this, and one reason why I haven't been able to repeat results. Now, why is this important? Well, if these things are, and I'm going to use the word interdimensional as a ground, like a blanket term for things that are not in our general everyday, it's not in our on our level.
Your question was more about astral projection.
It is.
He's getting there.
It is. Okay. It's really complicated. Because I don't know how to explain it. It's basically you have to become a fucking wizard, first of all. Because
so you want to give it a crack?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Sorry.
Well,
you basically have to become somebody that is aware of their inner reality. I don't know how.
Templar?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, let's get into the von Neumann probes after this.
Yeah. Do you want me to keep going or?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay.
Just, you know, fast, I guess.
Fast. Well, that's why I'm talking fast as I can.
It's your show, man. You take all the time you do.
So, yeah, I'm like, I can't explain it fast because I haven't figured it out yet. Right, but so second of all, so if you can do, apparently astral projection is the way to, you know, decouple yourself from your earthly, you know, say everything. So, okay, say everything is interdimensional. Say you are an interdimensional being. But the only reason that you have been conditioned to believe that you're nothing but a physical being is because all the cultures that have ever been taught that this is not the case have been literally raped and destroyed.
Oh, shit.
Dream time, like the Native Americans, they took them from their families, they put them in schools, and just completely fucking destroyed culture after culture everywhere on the planet. Anybody that knew how to do this, anybody, any culture that knew how to do this, they fucking destroyed.
All right.
Think about it.
Gabe, can I jump in really quick?
Yeah.
So we're talking about like remote viewing and ESP.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, I come back to like consciousness.
Yeah.
And I think that's like at the root of what we're talking about.
Sure. And
whether or not consciousness permeates all living beings across all time and space. And I think, you know, and I'm just going to touch really briefly on some of the conversation that I had with Russell Targ.
Hell yeah. Humble brag. I love it.
Well, can I just say one last thing? When you say,
I don't want to like humble brag. I was just at a conference sat at my table and I was eating dinner with him, but we were talking about this.
Yeah, it was just a joke. It's just a joke. That's awesome.
But honestly, and I only knew of him through, you know, my research into like Hal Puthoff and his point was he kept coming back to like this concept of consciousness. And to be honest, guys, I didn't know exactly what he was talking about when he was talking about consciousness. But, you know, in further reading in the months and year and a half that's passed since that interaction, I feel like that's kind of what we're talking about. I
mean,
this idea that there is some sort of a, and I don't even know, I to be honest, I struggle to try and find words to describe what that is, but this idea that we're all connected.
Can I?
Go ahead, please.
If the universe was an egg and all everything was one life, everything in the universe is just one life. Every time a cell divides, it makes a new life, but it's still all part of the same life. It's still part of the same universe. It's like we're all part of the same tree. We're all different leaves. Every season, a leaf dies.
Experiencing itself.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But how you take that away and say, okay, well, if I have a brain that I can use and I can make all these calculations and I'm aware and I'm alive. And when I go to sleep, all the waking life is taken away from me. And my dreams, they seem, you know, they seem like they're fleeting and you barely remember them. But if you can learn how to remember them and learn how to become in control of them, you can start to tap into the rest of the larger universe outside of yourself by being more in tune with the inside of yourself. It's almost like you're a radio antenna, and once you figure out how to play with the tuning fork, you can kind of not necessarily out-of-body experience, and there's probably no words to explain it. But
yeah, there's probably so many different things you could do.
Yeah, and this is why we gotta have Kiwi Bonga on, because he's really the one teaching me how to do this. But it makes sense, because if we are all one life, and if the universe is that one life, then it's like we're in the biggest brain of all, and we are one of the dreams, but the physical reality is the memory. So when we wake up and everything's the same as it was yesterday or slightly different, that's part of the physical framework of the awake dream. Whereas when you go to sleep, your framework is just your tiny little processor brain, as opposed to an entire universal brain. I don't know how to explain it any better right now.
Yeah. Can I get it back to the Russell Targ thing? So what else are you saying about it all? Virgil?
I don't know. It's a really hard concept. It's more like I should probably get it.
Sorry, I was on mute. just for disclosure, I was talking also, with him about... Go ahead.
Real quick, is Russell Targ, he was actually one of the remote viewers, or was he just like...
He's a PhD, he's a doctor, similar to Putov, that was involved in those remote viewing,
the SRA organizing,
exactly. So there were individuals that exhibited high capabilities in the space, in the area of remote viewing. I mean, Nigo Swong being one, Yuri Geller. I'm sure many of you guys have heard of him. He was also another individual that was
involved. Everyone's take on him, real quick? He's controversial, right?
He is, very.
Is it like a 50-50 thing? Like, what's the... Or is it like... Putov probably believes him, right?
If remote viewing works, or is he...
No, on Yuri Geller specifically. I know, do you guys know he sued Pokemon?
What?
For Kadabra? Because, the spoon thing is him. Like, everything you see, in The Matrix 2, that reference of, bending a spoon with your mind... he's the one who's known for that. So he sued Pokemon because Kadabra used his likeness, they said, without and I think he might have won. Actually, no, what happened is I don't think they've made a new Kadabra card since 2002 or something like that. Little fun fact, sorry. Little bit about that. But yeah, what does everyone think about Yuri Geller? That's what was the tangent.
It's time to invest in that Pokemon card, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I think
Virgil or Red Templar. Yeah, sorry. Go
ahead. That's a difficult one with the spoon bending. Well, I don't know a ton about that individual and his whole story. I saw a few things on it here and there, but I think the whole phenomenon with bending spoons or other telekinetics or similar psychic phenomenon, I think that.
We lost it.
Yeah, he dropped.
He was about to say something super good, and they had it.
Yeah, that's totally the government.
While Templar comes back, I just want to reiterate that Hal and Russell both came from Stanford and worked in the Stanford Research Institute studying this phenomenon. And I know that there's probably been a lot of discussions as to whether or not the veracity of their claims are founded in any sort of truth, but I guess my point is they do come from academia, and I know Hal gets a lot of respected. Yeah, and I know Hal gets a lot of Earth Tech, and people are like, oh, that's all woo-woo, but the guy fact is legit. A
Scientologist for a bit.
Well, exactly, you're right. But at the same time, the guy has his bona fides. He's a legit scientist and contributing to the scientific literature in the areas that at least Hal's studying, and it's crazy stuff. It's space-time metric engineering, right?
His physics books were in colleges for part of the 70s and 80s. Exactly. So he's
Exactly.
He's just not afraid to try and unravel like the greater mysteries, which a lot of scientists
exactly are. Exactly. And it's interesting to like parallel that to, and I'm sorry guys, you're all gonna like kill me for even bringing this up, but like Lazar
that has no
educational background, no proof, no references at all. And so, you know, you look at Hal and the work that he's done, and while yes, it is arguably, you could characterize as Hal pseudoscience, he at least has a backing, a basis in the scientific method, and there is zero proof that Lazar has any sort of experience, history, path, or past in any kind of educational background, at least not in comparison to some. So I don't know. I know, guys. I know it's probably like the third rail, and I shouldn't talk about it. But
yeah, no. Everything. This has like been these. I feel like Gabe, when like a bunch of people come on, is just like low key, just free for all.
Yeah, pretty much has to be. That's what it has been. So I mean, that's kind of I guess what we should expect when we have more than three people on.
Yeah, which I'm down for. I think it makes for like really good like conversation.
Yeah, we should.
Like
you were
saying before we started. Sorry, real quick. Like you were saying before we started, it should never be like off limits. I mean, if you're a believer or a disbeliever, we should never say like you can't talk about Bob Lazar. But I think what Templar was saying is just that it's a distraction, right? Like, so when every other thread on the subreddit is always about Bob Lazar, and even in the comments about Gimbal, everything is. Oh, Bob Lazar predicted this. Everything is Bob Lazar.
I just imagine Jerry every time you read one of those, just like fuming.
It's honestly what happens.
I just do know.
But to be honest, my concern is that so imagine over the next 12 to 18 months, this like guys. I mean, I know we're talking on Discord, there's a podcast, Sovereign Envoys, we're talking about UFO disclosure.
Hey, can I just
99% of people don't believe that this is actually a thing.
That what is? Happens. Sorry, follow. we're gonna have to do something about your audio for the next time. Just letting you know.
Sorry,
it's all right.
It's cutting out pretty bad. No, I know, but
no, we can make out what you're saying.
Yeah. But for the future, I'm just letting you know. For the future, maybe just buy like a headset or something.
But yeah, back to your.
I'm sorry, guys. But what I was saying is that, you know, 99% of people don't. This is not on their radar.
This
isn't even just not on their radar. They have no idea of the question.
Yeah, they're more interested in cars and girls and fishing and
radar.
And so, that's so, fine. That's cool.
So fast forward 12 months, 18 months. And this actually becomes a thing. It actually makes, you know, the mainstream media and there are news reports and we talked earlier about what this could eventually look like if it's like, you know, 9/11, like, you know, 2-3 weeks worth of back-to-back coverage, whatever ends up happening, people are going to look back.
If that happens. Yeah, we're lapping up every little scrap we can because this is our jam, right?
Exactly.
Like, if you look at just 3 months ago where we were, and if you look at just 8 months ago where we were, and if you look at a year ago where we were, then stop there. 3 years ago where we were, but after 3 years ago, it's like there was no there was nothing for 30 years.
Yeah, that's why I don't get why people are so upset with the pace of things.
Yeah, it's really fast.
It's like so fast in my mind.
And that brings me to one thing I want to know.
Game.
Yeah.
What happens when this news makes it out and people are aware of it, and all of a sudden
I'm
going
to be
like,
so annoying to my friends and family.
You know what? They're probably going to be like, okay, so what? And then we're just going to be like, fuck! I hate you!
What happens if someone like Lazar is also positioned and then they start picking it all apart and they're like, oh, he's a charlatan, it's all bunk. And then you also have this information that's also trying to make its way into the public consciousness that is legit, that is highly strange, highly credible, and it's compared apples to apples with what Bob Lazar's story is. No proof. No back it. And
many UFO cults are going to sprout out, bro.
And I'm not saying that what Lazar is, I mean, he might be right. But the fact is, he has zero proof for any of his allegations, any of the stories that he's trying to put forward.
I know he has some proof somewhere buried under a tree.
Right. He's got the 115.
He's got a jar under his bed.
but then you compare that with...
Like Shawshank Redemption, it's just there under the tree.
Other individuals that do have multiple witness testimony and electro-optical sensor data and radar... Exactly. And then, but my concern is that for I don't mean to sound this like patronizing or to normies. Discredit the normies. They're going to look at this and be like, Lazar, Fravor, they're the same.
I hate that. Joe Rogan did it first.
He did it first. He's a prime example of what potential risk may exist as this news starts to make it out into the public.
He's normie prime.
And so that's my concern. And so he is normie prime. He's the prime normie. But God bless Bob Lazar. Whatever his bag God bless is, whatever Bob he's Lazar. Trying to do, fine. Do it.
You bastard, you got me.
But me listening to his audiobook. Let's not focus all this attention to Lazar when there are other credible examples and witnesses that can further this discourse, forward. And that's what frustrates me, because to be clear, you see that in the subreddit, you see people coming into this topic with no background, no experience,
and that's the way it's going to be, right? And so it's people like us we're the kind of on the forefront.
Exactly.
That's why we got to get better mics and like pick three things to talk about, and then we just do this every week. One episode. We'll just make a 12-hour episode and just talk about everything.
Also, Red Templar had something to say a long time ago, and then his mic cut out. So let's cut back to that.
Yeah, sure. Sorry.
Let's go. Oh man, going all the way back to the projection stuff and the spoon.
Oh shit, that's where we were. Yeah, let's get it.
This is a mess. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that if we are going to go with that stuff is true, like he was able to bend the spoon and stuff, and I kind of have beliefs that align with that stuff a little bit. I think there's a component to it that relies on faith, like in yourself being able to do those things. And it seems like a lot of the stories of people that I've seen of when his spoon bending abilities really started to go down is when he is being mocked relentlessly.
I have something to add to that. I have something to add to that, like on a serious note, that I don't know 100%, but I'll just use rain dances as an example. Like, it might sound funny or whatever, but when the cultures that did that, they're purportedly worked. I mean, they do them for a reason, and in their legends, they actually worked. Everybody in the tribe that did it believed that this would work, and it made it work more. Like, you know what I mean? That's the kind of thing. Like, the more people that you have that believe in your version of reality, the more you bring that version of reality. Like, if we are in a simulation, that would make total sense, because we are the creators of the simulation. But if you have everybody believing in materialistic stuff and oil and money and all this, money's not real, it's just a number, but it is an energy credit that we can use to buy other things. But, you know, we basically give up things because we're taught certain things, and this is our construct. But if you have people that aren't part of that construct, maybe they can do magical things with, like, energy or their mind or whatever, but
what do you think,
not if people around them don't believe in them.
Also, wait, what do you guys think of Nino Kulagna? You think she was real, fake, propped up by KGB?
Who?
And then Red Templar.
Oh, who's
that? I just want to see it.
Oh, Nino Kulagna, the girl from my video, awkward.
He's joking. Oh, I must have missed that one.
Next week.
I didn't watch that one.
It's fine. It's this Soviet, I guess, was she in the army or was she just, like, studied by the army?
She was studied.
Okay, so either way, when she's out of the service and she's not in the army anymore, she claims that she can move stuff with her mind or whatever, and like light stuff on fire even, and they're testing her and like trying to verify it, and they basically do. And at one point this guy didn't believe her, and then she like slows down his heart rate, I guess, and so that's kind of what I was talking about with the staring at goats thing, but it's like a real person that says she can do it.
Well, look,
my
at,
thing is,
look at
I
Rasputin.
I just want to see somebody reproduce that. Like,
remember the stories about Rasputin? Didn't he get shot like a whole bunch of times and they get sucked under the river and he was still alive? They found him like trying to claw his way out after he got shot a few times in the head or something. Rasputin, look it up.
But yeah, well, the
sure,
thing is, like,
plug Red Temple Player. You should watch that video of mine.
Yeah,
it's
an awesome
like,
video.
All this like, mm-hmm. this like low-key like psychic warfare.
I think Russians are just crazy like that.
But if the United States has a psychic warfare program and the USSR has a psychic warfare program, then there's a huge incentive to fake something. So if you have a magnet under the table and you say that there isn't a magnet under the table, you make it look like people are moving stuff with their mind. And
no,
then
that's,
the Americans
why, that's
are
why
like,
it's so
oh,
interesting.
Crap.
It's like, I don't think she like duped the Soviets. So it was either like an all-in disinfo thing or it's real. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have some scientific evidence on some of the stuff with like the double slit test, and we know that some of our observations in the world cause things to change. I can't remember. There's a book I read a few years back talking about how just by observing things, we're basically solidifying them into the universe, kind of like collapsing their waveform or something weird like that. I'd have to look up the book. So
it only goes to the specified outcome when something's observing the measurements. If there's nothing there to observe it, it has a dispersed pattern, and so it collapses the probability of it going to one place or another. Otherwise, it goes everywhere. There's a guy that has a theory of everything, and he bases it on some kind of like simulation theory, but it's pretty interesting. His name's Tom Campbell.
Like intuition and like all those kinds of things. Something when I was doing all this Nino research, that one of the like quote unquote psychic people said was like that feeling when like you know someone's looking at you, but like you're not looking at them. Like
that's kind of
related to it all.
Rupert Sheldrake wrote a book of Sense of Being Stared At too, and that all kind of goes in hand with like if everything is one life. Then
or like connected at least.
Yeah, but like the air and everything would have you know a kind of. A version of consciousness, but our consciousness would be more focused and high level because we are in a closed system that's you know regulated and everything. Whereas the larger system, the environment that we're part of, generally has a system that moves on a slower time scale. So we're like a focal point of the universe, looking at itself. So you can actually affect it more. To the point where we would evolve like different abilities as an organism to manipulate like our own environment faster, which would be, you know, hands are the epitome of that, right? But
right,
you have to be able to sense the environment first in order to decide if you're going to manipulate it and that thing. So
yeah, it's all and Tom says it's all related to consciousness.
I think Tom
mentioned. In one of Tom's earlier interviews, didn't he say something along the lines that there is a God as well? Let me see here. It's a beautiful energy that connects all of us and creates stars and galaxies.
Nice. Got the notes up? Hell yeah.
Yep.
Just like the same thing. But yeah, I probably got to get going soonish because I still have to go to the store. But I feel like this was a good chat.
Yeah, it was fun.
Cool. Agreed. We'll call it the round table chat, and then I'll just put it up as an hour long kind of mishmash of stuff.
And how much time do you have?
I have like 10 minutes or so. What's up?
All right, real quick. What do you think that is going on with TSA, TTSA, and in the Army? Like, what's your take on all that?
Let's get everyone's take. I think it kind of gives them validity, and like I said, this is all happening so fast. I personally think. And yeah, people that just like there's a section of the quote unquote UFO community that just like anything TTSA does gets pissed off. So it's like pretty funny to watch, to be honest. But
I wanted to touch on what's going on with the Army and TTSA. What's going on?
Yeah. So well, for me, I buy into Grant Cameron's theory where it's like basically just a method by the military-industrial complex to get more funding. And I think that also ties into his origin story. Like, I'm trying to put all this together still a little bit, but basically, like, if Tom DeLonge's going around to all these aerospace companies and, you know, the military, branches of the military, and he's telling them that he wants to go before Congress and, like, change the public's opinion and make it, like, seem like it's a threat so people take it seriously, they're going to look around and they're going to think, you know, we can use this guy. Like, we can actually benefit from that if it happens.
I like the theory that it's, like, one theory higher than that even. And, yeah. Like, they knew everything, and that's why he was even invited to the Lockheed, right, like, thing in the first place, because they knew he would request a meeting, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So it could, like, be something like that, like Bigelow or, like, some branch of the government is, like, orchestrating everything. But either way, like, I think it's the point of TTSA is to change public perception, change the government's perception, and then that way all of these companies and even the military branches get more money. So I think it's probably something to do with that.
But also Grant Cameron, who you say you subscribe to, theory. No, I'm not trying to get controversial or anything. But he does say that, like, this is different than, like, the Paul Bill Moore stuff or, like, right, the Holloman Air Force Base stuff.
Because I think most of that, according to him anyways, was, like, for the public.
He says he thinks it's real, though, like, what's going on. Yeah. Just, like, in the recent Blackwell interview that I think we're all referencing.
Right. So, yeah, I think it's more real this time, and I think it's really to change, hopefully, everything in order to get more money. So change the public perception, make the government take it seriously. Already the mainstream media takes it seriously. So hopefully it'll keep going this direction.
Virgil Templar, thoughts on that, on the connection now with the Army and the med materials, I guess?
I kind of feel like this is a race to disclose. I think in one of the somebody posted a PDF the other day that was from a senator basically asking for further information, and he mentioned in there that we've seen significant investments from China, and I can't remember if you said Russia as well, but significant investments from China. I think at this point it might be more along the lines of a lot of information is going to be coming out over the next few years, and we're just trying to race to get ahead of it. And Tom would be a really great way to do that. I mean, I personally believe a lot of what Tom says, but at the same time, I could also see him being a, for lack of a better term, a useful idiot. Do you know what I mean? I appreciate him. Like, and I'm not calling him an idiot. That's a term I think Russia used for some of the ways that they manipulate other cultures and stuff. They find useful idiots to get what they need done. But I think it's entirely possible that a lot of this stuff is going to be coming out one way or the other, and that would kind of even line up with some of the weird patents that have all been being filed in the last few months as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm skeptical about the patents, though, because some of the earlier patents, they said it weren't actionable technology, like they can't actually be built.
Yeah, and I don't know about those patents either. Yeah. I think that's because they're ambitious.
If it was really important, yeah, if it was actually real tech, it would be classified by nature. Like anything that pertains to national security, which obviously all of those patents probably would, they would be classified. So I don't understand
why it's like old.
Why do you say that, though? I mean, there was higher ups with the Navy that backed the initial Pays patent when it was initially rejected by the U.S. Patent Office. I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, if it really was legit, the government would classify it. But I look at it from the other perspective. Why wouldn't they classify it? Like, what type of narrative? Like, why are they, you know, making these really, I mean, honestly, guys, like outlandish. I mean,
yeah.
If Pace's two patent legit, and there's discussion around, you know, state of the art and whether or not, you know, the information or what's been presented within the patent is actually actionable, is possible, that could like revolutionarily change our entire world. So my question is, why is the government backing those patents, knowing that the underlying technology and what's purported to be state of the art is possible? I mean, why?
Well, so how did they back them first? I don't think I'm familiar with the government backing.
Can I just say one thing real quick too that I just thought of? I just had a Jimmy Neutron moment. What if another reason this is all happening right now is because like China is like becoming like pretty dominant economically, and like our dependence on the Middle East, like if we were to just do this and disclose this, like we wouldn't have that anymore. like we didn't for oil and stuff. Just a thought.
Not export petroleum. So it would, at least from the U.S. perspective, it seems like the country would stand to lose from some sort of
pollution. Oh, do we export more than we import?
Yes, yes, due to fracking, yes.
Hell yeah, fracking for the win.
Fracking, well, Christ. The climate may disagree, but yes, right.
All right, I'm going to, anybody have their last sentence or two that they want to say, and then I'm going to wrap it up for this episode. Yes. We can segue right into a second one if anybody wants to stick around.
I love it.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay, because I can do another hour if you guys want, and we'll just wrap one up, and then that way I can try to see if I can do the next one without making it a clusterfuck. All right. So not that this one was horrible, but I think I could do better. Anyways.
I think this would be fun. Ready, guys? Say what you think the next thing about TTSA to come out will be.
Oh, hopefully a new materials announced. Big...
Where is it?
Go ahead.
I was going to say a new big thing that we were going to tell you later.
Oh, boom.
That's a deep hurt right there. Too close to the real...
I don't know if this will be the next thing, but I think over the next, I don't know, 6-12 month horizon, that there's going to be a demonstration of actual commercial mass reduction of these metamaterials when energized with these high frequency. That's what I think is going to happen. I think they're actually going to demonstrate, hey, you know, the space time metric can actually
be modified. You're going to hit it with terahertz.
I know, like. Like on Joe Rogan saying that, like seriously. I think that's literally what's going to happen.
The army's with them, right? They probably already know this is just them, like for show. Oh, now we're with the army. Like, there's probably been a plan since the beginning. TBH.
We're gonna hit it with some microwaves and it's gonna float. But like, basically, that's what's gonna happen. They're gonna hit it with some microwaves.
Oh God, I don't know.
And that bismuth aluminum
magnesium
material is going to actually do the thing that we've all been
levitate. Well, bismuth already is magnetically it's the opposite of magnetic, so it should be it should hover anyways.
I mean nuts. like and I know this is like just a couple of minutes left, but like space-time metric engineering,
if you could change like, the flux using nano lattices in the metamaterials, I can definitely see you bending the flux into a way where you could create some kind of wind, but not to, I don't know.
So I forget who said it, but there, you know, there's four universal forces, like the strong,
weak, the strong,
electromagnetic, and gravity. And they say that like electromagnetic force can influence the other. And so we may be honestly like entering into an entirely new chapter understanding that.
I'm going to get the clip of Jesse Pinkman screaming magnets, bitch, and then just play it the time. Yeah.
Just constantly on rotation.
Yeah, bitch. Magnets.
Yeah, bitch. Magnets.
I want that. Yeah, no, I love magnets, man. You have no idea. At work, I have magnets that like hang every single tool up against the wall.
I don't know, guys. This is like a wild... It's kind of exciting. I mean, it's 2 years. Things could radically change. Not, but things could be completely effing different.
I know, it's
today.
Crazy. It's crazy. I'm right there with you.
All right.
It is insane.
I'm waiting for the space-time metric engineering demo.
All right.
For the terahertz.
I'm going to wrap it up. Theory, you have one last thing to say? Has everybody said what they said?
See you guys in the next episode.
All right.
See you guys later. All right. See you in Discord.
See ya.
Thank you, everybody, who's listened to us for this long. You can come check us out on the RUFO Discord subreddit. And, we'll see you there. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, bitch! Magnets! Oh!